Sovereignty reminds us of the foundation for Baba's teachings. Then we describe spiritual knowledge in a few words. Then we would say that the essence of everything is Rajyoga, and translate Rajyoga, and it comes out as self-sovereignty. And the Hindi expression is Swaraj, and self-sovereignty is the literal translation of that. And it's understood that if there's been sovereignty over the self on an inner level, then it's going to be possible to have sovereignty out there also. I'd like us to look and see what is the feeling of self-sovereignty. What is the experience of self-sovereignty? In a sense that I know when I came to Rajyoga first, and there was the image of Lakshmi and Narayan, well, I didn't relate to that very much. And I suppose that's true for most of those of you who are sitting here. And to just mention my background, because I had grown up in London, I hadn't been surrounded by the images of the gods and goddesses, and my mother, who's here, was already a Rajyogi at that time, so she didn't keep any pictures of Lakshmi and Narayan and Radhe and Krishna and all the other stuff in our home in that way. But, of course, in the way that Baba describes, so coming to Baba and hearing this expression, Rajyoga, and understanding what that meant, it didn't relate to be thinking about the future and the golden age, but more in terms of the sovereignty today. And when there's sovereignty today, then the experience of being a self-sovereign, that actually holds very powerful concepts that anybody in today's world would want to achieve. For example, being a self-sovereign means having independence. Being a self-sovereign means having freedom. Being a self-sovereign means having stability, having truth, royalty, reality, beauty. Self-sovereignty means being able to create the feelings that I would like to have, being able to have mastery over my own mind, being able to have the vision that I would like to have, being able to have the qualities in terms of relationships that I would like to have. So you can see how these are the things that everybody in today's world are trying to achieve and yet aren't able to somehow quite manage it. And yet there's a power that we're able to access, that we know about, that we're able to experience, that gives us the ability to do all of this. And of course that power is the connection with One. And because we're able to make that connection and draw that power, then all of this becomes very natural and easy. And the reality is that if anything is interfering in my ability to take that power, then I'm not a self-sovereign. And I see the results of that in my own life. Baba's often mentioned about accessing all the powers. In particular, Baba mentions the eight powers. And again, when Baba was talking about self-sovereignty, that's what Baba was talking about. What's the proof that you do have a link with the Almighty? If you have a link with the Almighty, then you should be able to experience all that power, the expressions of that might in your own life. And if those powers are missing in your life, then it's an indicator that there isn't that strength, there isn't that connection with one. And so let me see to what extent I've been able to make that link, draw that power, and use it. And if I'm using that power, then all the different things that I described of being a sovereign are happening automatically. What are some of the things that interfere in being a self-sovereign? For example, I want to be able to have independence and freedom, and I find that it's not happening. And if I don't have spiritual knowledge, then I'm not able to identify what are the things that hold me in bondage. And at least with spirituality, I have the clarity with which to be able to identify what it is that's going on and to understand these are the things that are the bondages that trap me. When there isn't that knowledge, then of course the state of ignorance and I don't understand, and of course then I'm helpless, I don't know what to do about it. The level that Baba's working with us now is not just down here, but Baba's helped us move beyond that to another level. And why I mention that is because the things that when you don't know about spirituality, the things that trap you at that time are the external addictions. And when you come to Baba, then instantly you draw power and you're able to go beyond those external addictions pretty fast. And so the real negative things that trap the soul, and people don't understand at a certain point that that's what it is. I'll deal with it just very quickly because we've gone above that, beyond that, but all the external addictions to alcohol and drugs and really the very bad habits that people get into. And you come to Baba, there's a higher love, a higher sweetness, a great strength that you experience, and those things get left behind very quickly. Another level, which is again pretty gross, and Baba said that mostly, for the majority, we've gone beyond that too. And I'm thinking about really the external manifestations of anger, for example. That's again an addiction. Anger is definitely an addiction. A pattern that you get into, a habit that traps you, and you lose your sovereignty, you lose your dignity, your royalty, your truth. Everything is gone, the freedom, the independence. And so even that on an external level of action, or even to a large extent words, that happens again quite fast. But then all the subtle manifestations of lust and anger and greed and attachment and ego, the whole line of them, the subtle aspects are still there. And the soul has to be able to identify all of these different manifestations. And we don't always manage to do that. Where attachments take on a royal form, Baba's often spoken about that, ego, and the very, very subtle aspects of ego, the consciousness of I and my and mine. Baba's talked about that often enough. But in this particular Murali, this last one, Baba focused on the main interference that's coming in self-sovereignty at this moment for the majority. And Baba identified that as that which is wasteful. And so all the waste that comes in the way and clouds the consciousness, clouds the intellect, and actually is robbing me of my freedom and my dignity and all the truth and beauty that Rajyoga and self-sovereignty offers. And if at any point of time I'm not just dealing with waste, I'm actually having to deal with things worse than waste, it's a very important signal. If I haven't even been able to deal with all those other things, at what point of time am I going to start doing that? And so, hopefully, Baba Smriti has given me a very powerful reminder that really there's no time for any of those other things at all. And if anything, even the waste that is still coming in the way, I have to be dealing with at this moment now. And Baba was also mentioning how the one thing that allows that which is negative or that which is wasteful to continue is simply carelessness. It isn't lack of information. It isn't lack of knowledge. It isn't lack of understanding. We have all of that. And yet a carelessness that says, well, it doesn't really matter. It's okay. I'll deal with it at some other point. Maybe a little while later. It's going to be fine. And why Baba's giving us the time limit of 3 months is, I think, to make us aware that you can't just let it carry on, carry on, carry on. If the change is going to take place now, then having brought about that change now, then that change will stay with me to help me through the coming times of transition. And I'll have claimed my sovereignty now, and it'll stay with me forever. And if I don't claim it today, I don't know that it's ever going to be possible. And so, a time limit. Baba's not talking about the end. Baba's talking about very practical things now. And human nature is such that if I don't accept the challenge and do something now, if I postpone it, it's not actually going to happen. Have you been in the situation where the alarm clock goes off and you say, a few minutes longer, and how long do those few minutes become? The clock ticks on and you're in sweet sleep, and before you know it, you're late for whatever it is you needed to be awake for. And so the same thing in terms of personal transformation. A little while later, a little while later, and what Baba's saying to us is that it's not possible to do that. It's either today or it's never going to happen. And so that carelessness in which I put off something, or I don't give it that importance or significance, and Baba's making me aware of the great loss that I face if I don't do something about it today. And so let me realize what I'm doing to myself. There's an expression that comes in the Gita, and the Gita of course has the expression of Raj Yoga also specifically. But the expression that comes in the Gita is that the mind is its own best friend or its own worst enemy. And why I'm reminded of that particular statement is because Baba was talking about what it is that comes in to interfere in your personal sovereignty, in your state of independence. Baba spoke about the influence of my own middling level of sanskaras. Baba wasn't talking about any other enemy out there. Baba was very, very specific. It's my own sanskaras that are my own worst enemy and it's this that interferes. And so to come to that state of understanding that I can never ever put the blame on anyone else. If I don't have personal sovereignty today, who is to be blamed? Baba's given me the method. Baba's given me the power. Baba's even given me a taste of what it feels like. I think why we continue on the path is because we've had the taste of that sweetness of freedom and truth and joy and beauty and all the good things. And because we've had a glimpse of it ourselves, we know that that is the reality. We know that it's possible. And so that's the motivation that keeps us continuing. And so the method I know, the power I know, I've even tasted it. And so who's to blame if I don't maintain it all the time? The carelessness comes in another way also. And that is, and Baba also spoke about laziness. And the laziness, and of course carelessness, both working together, it's not a question of just the physical disciplines and the time I get up and the time I go to sleep. But it's connected very much with the alertness of the intellect, the alertness of the consciousness. And really, to be absolutely aware all the time. Now, that's the effort that's needed. And so it's not hard work or labor, but definitely it requires constant attention and awareness. But that also, it requires that sort of concentrated focus and attention only for a while, until it becomes a natural state of consciousness. And just as bad habits have become totally natural, for example, if your body's feeling pain, can be many different reasons for it, but maybe one of the reasons for feeling pain in the body is because you're not using the body in the right way, in the sense that the posture's not right, the breathing's not right, you're pushing muscles the wrong way, doing the wrong things. But it's become so natural that you continue to do it and you continue to find yourself in pain. And somebody has to help you and somebody teaches you the right way to sit, the right way to stand, the right way to walk, and so on and so on and so on. And when they first teach you and you begin to feel the difference, then you realize the contrast. And then you need to pay attention, and it's very easy to slip back into the old way. But if you're paying attention, then gradually it becomes easier and more natural, and a new style of moving, of walking, of sitting, all of that develops. And as you reinforce that new style, that new pattern, and it becomes natural, and you find that it's not just trying to manage the pain, but you've actually been able to deal with it and it's gone. Absolutely the same principle in terms of what's happening in here. If I'm feeling pain, if I'm feeling unhappy, it's not because somebody else is causing that. I think we've been with Baba long enough to know that really, absolutely, that is a reality. Baba's told me, neither must I give sorrow, but it's Baba's instruction to me. I mustn't accept sorrow, no matter what anybody says, what anybody does, whatever it is that's going on. If I take that sorrow on board, it's my fault, because I've accepted it, and it's against Srimad. It's maybe one of the most difficult lessons for the soul to accept. But when we are sitting in an atmosphere like this, in which in Madhuban there's purity and love and harmony, and everyone's working out of their own higher stage of consciousness and pure intentions and motives, and you can trust everyone around you. In this atmosphere, you can actually believe it, can't you? That if I'm feeling sorrow, it's not because somebody else is responsible. It's because I've decided to take on that sorrow, or I've allowed myself to take on that sorrow. And so, if I'm feeling pain and sorrow, it's because there's a bad habit in terms of my attitude or my vision or my consciousness, which is again manifesting, which is making me take things on in this way. Agree? Yes? Important that I continue with your agreement. Because it's a big, big lesson, this one. But it's absolutely true. So, as I say, in this atmosphere, easy to agree. And so then I know that I have to do something about changing my posture, my position, my consciousness, if I'm to come to the state where there's no more sorrow. And in that state then, truly, I am a sovereign of myself. I'm creating the feelings I want to have. I'm staying in the consciousness that I'd like to have. I'm keeping all the treasures that Baba's giving me with myself. I'm not allowing anything, anyone to cause a disturbance or interruption. And so, nobody else but my own old sanskaras come in, the middling level of sanskaras, or my intellect decides to go to sleep a little bit, or if not sleep, it decides to doze a little bit. And you know, when you're sort of half asleep, half awake, then things happen and you're not in charge, you're not in control. Same thing. So when this isn't completely aware, then at that moment things are happening and I react with my old sanskaras instead of my original sanskaras. And of course, I find myself in bondage again. In bondage to my own sanskaras, but also by then I've created more bondages in terms of karma around me. And so, the things that interfere, it's inside. But because of the things that have happened inside, then the things that interfere also happen outside. In the sense that if I've been holding Baba's hand and I've been following the path that Baba shows, at every step along the way, the intellect awake, alert, and the decisions that I'm making are the ones that are taking me towards freedom. And the intellect not fully aware, not fully in charge, and I'm making decisions which don't take me towards freedom, but have contributed towards creating more karmic accounts. And I find myself having to deal with all sorts of extra things which I have created since coming to Baba. The things that I had created before coming to Baba, that's actually easy to deal with. Because you see, all of those things, once you've come to Baba, you have a vision of great, great clarity in that first instance of knowledge. The divine intellect is touched by God, it opens and you see everything very, very clearly. Continue to follow Srimad, Baba's instructions, and every step you're taking is taking you towards that perfect state of royalty and sovereignty. And where I haven't made the right decisions, then I've created bondages along the way, And the influence of those bondages is not only that they deprive me of my happiness and power and joy and all of that, but the other impact of that is the shadow that they cast on the intellect and my inability to actually see what it is that's going on. And that, I find, is the greatest loss of freedom. The huge, huge bondage that the soul has created for itself. And only if I'm really, truly, at this moment now, wanting my sovereignty and my freedom again, and there's a very powerful motivation in my heart that's what I want. You see, why did Baba ask us that question? Do you want to be karmatit? Do you want to come to that state of all karmic accounts clear? Strange. Why did Baba need to ask that question? Surely when we came to Baba, that's what we were looking for. We wanted to come to the state of all karmic accounts clear. And yet, of course, what Baba is seeing is that we are saying that, and yet we are not doing that. We are saying, I want to settle karma, but at the same time, I keep creating more karma. The negative karma, of course, negative action is, of course, going to create huge karma. But waste also creates karmic bondage. Waste thoughts about somebody, and it's going to create a bondage with them. Waste thoughts about a situation, and it's going to create confusion so that I don't know how to deal with that situation anymore. And whatever is the situation, if I ask myself the question, what does Baba tell me to do in this situation? The answer is very clear. Baba's not ambiguous. Baba shows us a path that's very straight. And then when dust gets in my eyes, of course I can't see the straight path. It becomes one in which it's no longer clear. Do you remember what happens when dust gets in your eyes? It's painful, your eyes start to water, and you can't see where you're going, and further you're going to stumble and fall if you're not careful. And all of that happens, literally. If there's waste, then there's a lot of dust that's flying around. Waste thoughts, waste actions, all of that. And so I need to keep my mind clear from waste. And whether past karma or whether present karma, if again I come to the point where I say freedom is what I want, independence and sovereignty is what I want, then again my own determination and the hand of Srimad, the guiding light of Srimad, Baba shows me the path that's going to take me out of that confusion. And so waste creates that state in which I lose my sovereignty and my control. Baba was using these two words together, ruling power and controlling power. Both of these. We don't like this word control, and it's because we don't like to be in a situation where others are controlling us, and yet we all have this tendency to try and control others. It's inbuilt. It's part of that middling sanskar that we've carried with ourselves for a long, long time. And what Baba's wanting us to do is to not control anyone else, but neither to be controlled by anyone else. I don't want that to happen, and that's fine, that's okay. Baba's saying, you're okay in that. But if you're going to try and control others, that's going to cause you infinite problems. Because others aren't going to want to be controlled, and so then it's going to upset your plans. And every time you get upset because of something that somebody else has done, just check it out and see. It's because this samskara control is coming out. But that state of mastery of myself, sovereignty of myself, that state is when I have learned to control my own mind. And so we have the habit of control, but we've put it outside instead of turning it inside. And because we don't like to be controlled, we dislike this word. And of course it's also associated very much with another word we don't like, discipline. And so at this point where discipline isn't a fashionable word at all, think about discipline and control in here, and you begin to understand what Baba's wanting us to do. But to allow my mind to move in a very specific way and not allow it to go off here and there and all sorts of places, again it takes that determination and that clarity that this is what I want. If I see my destination ahead of me, if I keep my vision focused on the goal, then it's much, much easier to keep moving in that direction. And why Amrit Vela and Baba's Murali are important every single day, not just sometimes, not just from time to time or when I feel like it, but every single day. Because Amrit Vela is a time for me to remind myself of what is important, what is my goal, what is my destination. And Baba's Murali, the same, but also more than that, the reminder of how it is I can achieve that goal. And so if I know that, then I'll understand what the discipline is all about. Otherwise, you know, think about a train and a train running on a specific track, and you're only climbing onto the train because you want to get to where the train's going to take you. Same thing. That's the destination. That's the point I want to go to. How am I going to get there? Following that straight track. It's only through that discipline. And so the whole question of freedom and independence isn't about doing my own thing just simply because my mind feels like it. Fine, no problem if I want to, it's okay. But the real destination is something else, and I'm not going to be able to go there if I'm just doing my own thing and letting my mind go wherever it feels like going. Important for me to remember that and look back in terms of my own life and see where my own mind had been leading me before I understood Srimath and where Srimath can lead me to. And so I can still choose Manmath and tell myself this is freedom, fine, but that's not what it's about. And so Baba's Murali is a reminder of that. The disciplines on the external level are in place to help me keep my mind on the right track. And yes, obviously, if I don't understand the disciplines, and I'm just simply doing them because I've been told, then it's not going to help bring my mind back onto the right track. Somebody told me today that unless they understood why they were doing something, they knew that even if what they did was good, it wouldn't bring the same return. And I thought that was very perceptive of them. They'd asked a suggestion about something, and that he'd given them her idea about how to deal with the situation, and they then came back with this, that yes, it could just be obedience, and they would say yes, but they knew that if it was just simply because Daddy had said this and they were doing it for that reason, then it was without their own understanding, and so that motivation wasn't there, and so the return wasn't going to be coming. So I thought, as I say, that that was very perceptive of them. And they asked for more clarification. And of course, once you do that, there's a huge area that is cleared further. But it's an interesting indication of how sometimes we just do things without seeking clarification. And then it's not with my heart, it's not with that motivation, and it's not going to bring that result. And so Baba, the Dadis, always, always say, ask. If there's something you need to ask, find out. Don't just keep it in your mind and hide it away, but find out more. If I'm following the disciplines that Baba's showing me with understanding, it's to be able to keep my old sanskaras at least in a state of being able to manage them and my mind moving in the right track. One aspect is the question of life and action and sanskaras, but the other aspect is the actual practice of what to do with my mind, the meditation. And so, to give myself time and space, which is again what Baba was talking about, that it's not just a question of saying, well, I belong to Baba anyway, well, my whole life is Baba anyway, but no, very specifically, giving myself the time and seeing, am I able to keep my mind focused just on God? The qualities of God, the relationship with God, nothing else. Am I able to discipline my mind, control my mind to that extent? And I won't find out whether I can do this or not until I try. And when I begin to try, that's when I'll discover to what extent I do have that controlling power or not. And so maybe it's moments, maybe it's minutes, but let me continue. And I'll be able to develop that strength and stability, concentration of mind, in which my connection with God is becoming deeper and stronger, and the yoga is beginning to happen, in which I'm taking power further from God to be the master. Of course it's going to work both ways, my life, my yoga. And so my concentration in yoga, and then how does sovereignty feel afterwards in life? I spoke about waste, etc., 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 but the real sovereignty, think about the qualities of God, the love, the truth, the compassion, the generosity. As God's child, and Baba used beautiful expressions of love, the royal beloved children. And that's a very special state of self-sovereignty in Sangam Yuga. Never mind the kings of the future, but to be the rulers of God's heart, to be able to win the throne of God's heart and God's love now, that is being an emperor. And in that state, what is the quality of the human consciousness as God's child, loved by God? What sort of thoughts, what sort of feelings, what sort of connections will I have in that state? Right, just think about it and you'll see how big and open and generous and compassionate your heart is and what your feelings are in that state. And it's easy to experience it and emerge it. And so experience it and emerge it in meditation. But then that's the reality that has then to be carried through in the action. In the yoga, emerge it and experience it. And in the karma and the life in the actions, let it stay there. And so when Baba uses this expression of having nothing but good wishes for each one, nothing but thoughts of benefit for each one, think about the whole wide world and that feeling of love that overflows and is able to reach out and touch all souls everywhere, or even nature and the world out there. Not difficult, is it? It's easy. Okay, try another little exercise. Now think about the person with whom you have the strongest karmic bondage to. And now, keep that same generous feeling and open-heartedness and generosity of spirit and that feeling of love, whether it's husband or wife or working colleague or your next-door neighbor or whoever it may be. Not so easy. Why? Because the weaknesses of the people out there, well, I don't know, or in a general way I know that it's there, but they don't touch me, they don't bother me. But when it's my partner, when it's my sister, then I'm face to face with their weaknesses every single day. Sometimes, you know, when Daddy tells people, well, that's the past, you know, forget it. Then they'll say, but Daddy, it's not just the past, it's the present. It's true that they haven't yet changed, and so it keeps carrying on at this moment. But also the reality, if I continue to behave with them, seeing those weaknesses and faults, all the waste, all the karma, all the burden, and my loss of my own sovereignty and dignity. And so, what must I do? What is my responsibility? And even if I'm not so open and generous and compassionate for anybody else in the first instance, even being compassionate and generous for myself, and just asking myself, what is it that I want for myself? And I know that having only the purest good wishes for others is what's going to keep my state of mind happy and healthy and strong and powerful. Anything else, whether they're good or not good or middle or whatever, whatever, if I have waste thoughts about them, anything else has moved away from that purest state of good feelings, it's a disturbance for me. I've lost my own royalty, my sovereignty. And if I'm concerned about that, then I know what it is I have to do. And so that generosity then for others, being able to see and not see. Even in bhakti, they talk about not seeing evil. Baba's of course taken it much, much further. Don't even see waste. Don't think waste. But evil, not even to see it. If it's not my business, why should I be bothered with it? And of course the problem where I begin to think it is my business and I do have to do something about it. And the reminder that what I have to do is to follow the law and by that show, be the example and show others what the law is. I can't tell others what the law is and hit them with a stick on their head. But I can only demonstrate. I can show them what the law is. I can't take it into my own hands. If I can do something about the situation with love, let me do it. With good wishes, good feelings, let me do it. But if I can't, then what I have to do is to report it to a senior and then Om Shanti. It's not my responsibility anymore. It is my responsibility to report it to a senior. I can't just ignore it. So ignoring evil means allowing it to continue. And so that's not what sovereignty and truth is about. And so to keep my own conscience clear, yes, let me do that, but then no further waste thoughts on my side. One other aspect about royalty and this question of the past and so on, forgiveness. And it's actually not so easy. If I'm not forgetting, then really deeply, it's also because I'm not forgiving. And I can only forgive when I've been able to seek God's forgiveness for myself. If I've experienced God's forgiveness, then I'm able to understand what forgiveness is, and I'm able then to extend it to others. And when I learn to forgive, again it's only with compassion and love, and knowing that it's not my responsibility to settle anyone's karma. It really isn't. But from my side, if I don't forgive, I continue to carry the burden of that karma with myself. Their mistake, but my burden. And so at the moment I can forgive, I can forget, and then I can let my heart be clear and I can start having good wishes and good feelings. And it's not a question of what they've done or anything, but it's the process that I have to go through, which is part of my own cleansing. I spoke about coming to the state of equality, and the equality that Baba is offering us is the equality of being like the Father. And I wonder when we're going to start actually taking that seriously. And Baba's 3 months target is, I think, to make us aware that it's not a goal to be held out far away in the distance, but to become like the Father. If I take it seriously, I have to start doing it now, doing something about it today. A lovely title for God, East and West, is the King of Kings. the Emperor of Emperors, answer the perfect royalty in God, but the child of God and the royalty in the soul and the self-sovereign today. I have to become like my Father. And so just let your mind think about who God is, what God's qualities are, and start experimenting with God's qualities. And as you experiment and experience, then you can start imbibing and having the same. Let's have meditation in which we do this now. And the longer I can stabilize my mind absolutely with that one focus of God, God's influence stays on the soul and transforms the soul. And God's influence liberates me from any other influence. Again, Baba was speaking about the influences from outside, but also the influences of the middle state from within. And the protection for this is God's influence. So stay not just with Baba now during the meditation, but stay with Baba all the time so that God's influence surrounds you. Om Shanti.